Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we'll be taking a deep dive into the latest innovations in autonomous and electric vehicles. We're going to be discussing some new technologies that are coming out from a company, Guidant, which is a portfolio company of Tech Capital, an AIM-listed company here in London. And to do that, we're very kindly joined by Harold Braun, who is the CEO of Guidant. Harold, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Jonathan, thank you very much to have me.
So, Harold, there's been an awful lot happening recently at Guidant. There was a Tech Capital RNS out recently, which detailed some of those developments. So we're going to be delving into those. But to start with, for people that aren't familiar with Guidant or maybe Tech Capital or yourself, please would you be able to give us a brief introduction into Guidant, please, as well as a bit of your background, Harold?
Yeah, we will do that. Jonathan, thanks very much. So my name is Harold Braun. I'm originally from Germany and have worked for Siemens for more than 20 years. I've been president and CEO of Siemens Communication here in the US. And then when I left them, I did brought a company together in the US from Harris and Stratex and got them to NASDAQ. And I'm all my life in communication, and for me, everything is connected. And one thing what I wanted to connect all the time were electric vehicle or electric vehicles with the opportunity to upgrade them, so to say, to autonomous vehicles. And that's what we did with the help of Tech Capital. They were very instrumental to help me to build that company. And that was about 2019. And I defined then a product and brought the right people on board. I'm in several board of directors globally. And I brought some very talented people around me. Today we have about 13 people. Most of them are developers, software developers, I have to say. And we are developing software for autonomous vehicles to make autonomous vehicles safer while adopting a human-in-the-loop concept. That means wherever autonomous vehicles are on the road, they are connected or can be connected, if the customer choose to do that, to a remote monitor and control center. We call that RMCC. Think about it as that is a kind of an flight control tower at the airport, but we are not controlling flights or airplanes. We are controlling autonomous vehicles. And in case they are in a mishap situation or anything is happening which we can predict, with artificial intelligence software, we can actually take over control of that autonomous vehicles and get it out of harm's way, or take it away, put it into park, or bring it back to the defined route, or whatever it's happening. So in principle, we have all the time a human in the loop in an AV. Even there is no driver in the car. So that's what we do. We have also a second solution, which you might have seen that we spun that off last week. The second solution is a regenerative shock absorber. So a shock absorber which goes transitions the vibration energy to actually electrical energy, and with that charges the battery or other devices in an an electric vehicle, which brings then a range extension up to 9 to 12 miles per charge. So, and these two products we have right now, and the regenerative shock absorber actually is now in a very mature state, and we talk about that maybe later. So that I spun that off last week into a separate company.
Yes, Harold, both fascinating technologies there. But I think today's podcast, we're going to focus a little bit more on the shock absorbers, if we may, because it's a particularly exciting development that we saw last week. As you said, the shock absorbers being spun out into a new company, Revive Energy Solutions.
Yeah.
So, Harold, what was the thinking behind the move? Because there's two separate companies now, two separate technologies, each held within a separate company. What was the thinking behind making that move to spin out the regenerative shock absorbers?
Yes. So you can imagine when you are with Guidant in a software company where we really, really focus on software development, and then we have another patent on a regenerative shock absorber, which has mainly components, hardware components, and also some software involved. We had all the time the challenge in our discussion with customers, with investors, and so on and so forth. What is this actually product doing in your company, right? And then we said it is in the EV industry, so there was definitely a possibility to make sense of this. And then once I launched a separate team on this with Dr. Ades, and he took that to a next level, this regenerative shock absorber, and we got into testing in independent test authorities in the US recently, and then had an interest of a tier one OEM company, which I'm not allowed to say the name, and we tested in their facilities also the functionality of this shock with very good outcome in both independent test authority. It was time to separate the companies, but under the Guidant name. So Revive Energy Solution is 100% Guidant company, which means that it allows me now to focus within the Guidant holding, so to say, right? To focus with a team dedicated on this company with a separate go-to-market efforts, because it's our different customers than the Guidant remote monitoring and control customers. So a separate set of customers. And this company allows me now a separation with a certain dedicated targeted team and a targeted go-to-market strategy. So that allows me, you know, to be more, flexible in the upcoming, interactions with possible customers. That was the thinking behind it.
Thank you very much, Harold. And you alluded to there, you know, setting up the new company to target a new market to some extent in the regenerative shock absorber market. And that's something that I'd like to speak a little bit about. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of what does it look like, Harold? You know, how big is this market? How fast is it growing? In terms of, you know, the size, you know, in terms of the end applications as mm-hmm. well, you know, is it just EVs? Can it go into normal cars? You know, what does it look like at the moment out there?
Yes. Yeah, this is a very difficult question to answer, but I try it from different angles. We believing in Guidant and, of course, now in Revive Energy Solutions, that as it is for generative braking in the electro vehicles right now, that this RSA, regenerative shock absorber, will be in every EV going forward at one point in time. We are a strong believer that this energy harvesting capability of shock absorbers will be in every EV going forward. That is our vision. That's what we believe in. Now, when you come to the market, it is very difficult to define that market globally and all in North America and in the United States in particular. Why? Because you can say, well, this regenerative shock absorber could also be in vehicles which are non-electrical, right? because then they just power up other devices in the car. Or you say, we focus only on the EV market globally, right? And then in this EV market, a certain percentage will grow, will adopt that, which we believe all of them will do that going forward. And when we see the numbers with a growth rate about 30 to 45% on the global RSA market, the numbers for me, which I saw so far in the 3.5 to 5 billion range, is too small. That cannot be, from my point of view. And then when you boil it down to the American market, it is almost 2.5 billion, the obtainable market. But these numbers, from my point of view, are way too low, and we have not found yet a kind of a source which I can really take a look at and say what is the right number. But it is a multi-billion dollar market. That's what I can say. It might be double-digit billions to triple-digit billions. That's what I believe, and we have to find the right sources, to really understand that, and then boil it down to North America, to United States, or to European markets, and so on and so forth. What I can say is that we have at the moment no vehicle, no EV or other vehicle in the market which has regenerative shock absorbers in their released models. No Chinese, no European, no American car manufacturer, as of our knowledge, has regenerative shock absorbers now as a functionality in their EVs. So it is still an upcoming market, and we will update you once we have, digged deeper into the target market. But we believe it's a multi, double to triple digit billion dollar market.
So yes, so whatever the number may be, it sounds like it's a huge market there, Harold. So it does pose the question, what does it look like in terms of the competition? Are there other people out there doing this? And is this a race towards getting the first regenerative shock absorbers into cars? Who else is out there? Who else is part of this race? And is it a sprint or is it a marathon in terms of getting this technology into cars?
I think there is something between a sprint and a marathon. There are some, some races which are in the 10K range, right? So everybody is looking into that. There were early adopters of these technologies, and some of them dropped in the Volkswagen group. You know that there is Audi. They took a look at this design, but they haven't continued doing that or putting that into the cars. One competitor is Clear Motion, and Clear Motion, I think, are the most advanced ones. They have adaptive damping, from that what we know, but they are also not in the car. They have some first prototypes. They generated energy in the range what we are doing right now per shock, right? So that I think is a formidable, really good competitor. But we have not seen them. There might be smaller companies out there, but from that, what we are focusing or seeing here in the market is actually Clear Motion as one of the biggest competitors there. There is here and there something, but it's very difficult to follow them. A lot of patent in that area, and we have also one patent granted and one patent filed on this. So we have two in one granted, one filed in that area. So there is a lot of action there, but to bring that from patent or design to prototype to deployment is a long way, and we have not seen something there yet. And we believe that we are close to proof of concepts, which we have proven already with one company, one tier one, and then going from proof of concept to deployment. And you know, when we ask me, you know, what would you see within the next year, I would say at least one more proof of concept, and then one pilot customer, and within the next 12 to 16 months, hopefully a deployment with a tier one automotive or a company. Yeah. So for me, it's one name right now. What we're watching is ClearMotion as a competitor.
Thank you very much. So you mentioned at the beginning, Harold, some tests that have been ongoing, and it was something that was mentioned in a recent update from Tech Capital. Now, I know you said that you can't mention or name the company that it was done with, but I don't know whether you'll be able to add any more detail to these tests in terms of, you know, what it was testing, the outcomes and next steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have to be careful with this, but from a macro view, so you can put the shock absorber, let's say, into an MTS machine, right? And then you simulate the driving behavior of a car. There are test authorities out there; they can really provide a profile in this MTS machine, right? So where you put your shock absorber in there, and this profile can reproduce some road surfaces, right? Rough and smooth, and you know, class A, B, C, and so on and so forth. They can do a lot of things, right? So that test we did already about a year ago, right? 9 months ago, something like this. So that was from a machine, and we had different configurations there. Test results were good. We did some more optimization on the shock after that test. And now the second test was this independent test with a tier one OEM manufacturer, was that we put it in a real car. And we used that we put that into their test lab on a real car, where it was in a lab on a real car performing a test, which their test configuration allowed us also to simulate different car surfaces and road surfaces and so on and so forth. But then we took it also on a test track. We put the car with our shock absorber in, mounted in the car, and then we went to a test track with different surfaces. And that, of course, was all recorded. All the data from that shock, they had, I think, 12 output sensor channels, which we tested the shock with. And then we could see in which conditions, under which weight of the car, under which tire pressure of the car, under which road conditions and other criteria, would we produce what amount of energy? So we could see that over a short period and over a long period of time, everything was recorded. And then, of course, once we had the graphs and all the data, we could see how the shock would perform under these different criteria and under these different conditions. That, of course, was very, I would say, high-end testing. Can you imagine when you go to a multi-billion dollar company, you know, and they do testing in their facilities, you can imagine what the outcome is, right? So, and this data was separately interpreted by the company and separately interpreted by us. And then we got together and have a report out there, which is company confidential for now, and showed the outcome with different criteria. I'm not going to this different criteria, but you can imagine which one would that be. And I mentioned that weight, tire pressure, road surfaces, and other vibration possibilities on this car. And then, of course, different car types. Yeah. So we have all the data, and the data shows us that the shock absorber is working under the design premises, which we went into this from a patent to prototype to now a proof of concept. So the proof of concept is clear. We see increase of range about 9 to 12 miles per charge. When you have a normal EV and you're charging, let's say, 300 miles of charging capabilities in the battery, you can imagine that 9 to 12 miles is a significant amount. And the response from the automotive producers was very, very positive. It was not, by the way, that was also, these results were also presented to at least one of the major, of the top five car manufacturers in the world. And the response was very positive. Actually, in one statement, one company couldn't believe that that could produce this amount of range extension, right? So the 9 to 12 miles. So, yeah, was very good. Now, what we're doing as next step is to analyze the data. That's what we're doing right now. Analyze the data more in detail. Then take a look where can we optimize, maybe with another company together, to see where can we mechanically optimize it, and you know, to get a couple of more percentage points out of this. And the second one, and if we filed a patent on this as well, is how can we go from a passive damper, which I almost say what we have right now is a passive damper, meaning the vibration from the car get into energy converted by our mechanical motion rectifier, which is that patent. But we said also, why don't we influence this generator, this electrical generator, which is attached to the shock? Why don't we influence that from the outside and then influence the shock itself? We call that smart suspension. That is the second patent we have, or that's the patent we have filed, and put that into an intelligent controller, and then have different opportunities to variable stiffness, have different profiles for that shock, but also collect data from the roads where the car is driving, which is an interesting thought, to collect data wherever we drive, right? So a lot of possibilities. Sorry for the long answer, but I think it's
no, Harold, that was really fascinating. Yeah. Some great insights there. Thank you very much. So I think, you know, you did allude to, you know, what to keep an eye out for over the next 12 months, but I'd like, if you'd be able to summarize quickly, you know, for people that are looking at guiding, keeping an eye on what you're doing, what the most important things are that they should keep an eye on over the next 12 months. And yeah, also, a
the
question
first thing
here,
we keep an eye on is that we get that prototype, you know, and that proof of concept, the data we have there, to interested potential customers, where we could actually license the patent to, and they would then perform optimizations in terms of the shock itself, because we will not produce as Guidant or Revive Energy Solution. We will not manufacture this shock. We would license the you know, product to the possible customers in the OEM or in the automotive industry, right? So what I'm seeing is that we optimize it to a certain point in time, right? Over the next, whatever, 3 to 6 months, and then find, with the results we have, possible customers which can take the product either into their portfolio, optimize it further, right, and then find, you know, deployment opportunities with vehicle companies. That's, for me, the next half year to 9 months. In 12 months, I would love to sit here and say, we have at least one company which has taken this concept and this shock absorber to the next level together with us, and we collect royalty fees from this on a non-exclusive basis to revive energy solutions. So that's definitely the next focus area. That, and therefore, actually, I did create that company, right? This this spin-off of Revive Energy Solution under the Glident umbrella.
Thank you. So just one last point here, and this is probably my curiosity getting the better of me, but, you know, the name Revive Energy Solutions is quite broad. You know, are there other applications for this technology outside of the EV going forward?
Yeah. The thought process was there on Revive is that we actually harvest and put energy which would be otherwise dissipated. We would take that and revive it into something else, right? In this case, vibration to energy. Right. And there are other applications, as I mentioned, with that concept. And we have to see how far we go with that. That concept of the intelligent controller is how do we make out of a passive shock absorber a semi-active shock absorber? So the same shock absorber with the same kind of generator on it, but then we influence the generator from the outside. Right. So, and then see that we do variable damping, for example. But the other thing is the software in the intelligent controller allows us also to know exactly where we are, which road we are driving, and how good is that road, right? Are there potholes? Are there bumps in there? Are there surface issues or whatever? So we do data collection and data mapping on this. So we could take it up to that point in time, at up to that level as well. Second one is we can actually smaller that regenerative shock absorber and put it into other vehicles, right? Whether these are people movers, whether these are bikes or whatever, you see there's a lot of mobility concepts right now out there other than cars. And therefore, we called it also vehicles, right? So vehicle can be different types, right? It can be a scooter, it can be a motorcycle, it can be a bicycle, it can be any other footprint. So the footprint of the shock absorber can be also smaller or reduced so that it has also other applications possible. But, you know, we are at the moment thinking more on how can I, from a software point of view, collect more data and make a more intelligent controller together with the shock absorber itself.
Thank you very much, Harold. That's great. And to anybody listening to this who wants to find out some more about Guidance and the technology, there'll be a link through to their website in the notes of this podcast. So do check that out. And Harold, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, and looking forward to an update.
Indeed, as am I, and thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.